This is the most important episode that I will ever record, and if you haven't guessed it already, I'm interviewing my mom.
Hello.
Hey, Mom.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
First question, because this is my podcast after all, and I feel like in order to really understand me, you got to hear from my mom. So my question is, what was I as a kid?
You were funny, feisty. You were a good girl, but you had a pretty strong personality, and you were my way or the highway kind of girl. Like, you like things to be your way. If you didn't get, you know, not so much materialistically, but if people didn't do things you wanted them to do, you weren't really happy. So you used to kind of be bossy.
Okay. But not too, in a too bad of a way.
No, you were little.
More of a strong personality.
Strong personality.
Exactly. Yes. Can you think of any instances of when I was little showcasing my personality?
Trying to control the room, yeah.
Any funny stories from when I was a kid?
Let me think, there's many. Which one? You were very observant. I used to always wonder, like, why you, from a young age, you knew what was right, what was wrong. I remember once you had seen somebody, older woman, wearing these ripped jeans. And you're thinking, Mom, this lady's old. Why is she wearing ripped jeans? And she's a mother. I was like, oh, why are you paying attention to that? But you were pretty observant of everything around you. And I used to try to tell you to keep your opinion to yourself.
Mm.
But that was always a challenge.
And now here we are, not keeping any of my opinions to myself.
Right.
Putting everything out in the world.
I'm not surprised. I think you are exactly who you're supposed to be.
Do you feel like we're similar?
Yes and no. I think you are me, but 10 times more. 10 times more. I was pretty direct when I was younger too, but you're even more so.
The thing that we are similar in is definitely, well, yes and no. Fashion. We share a lot of clothes together. Yeah. Honestly, jeans. A lot of jeans. My mother has a denim addiction, if you want to talk about that.
Yes, I am a jean girl. Always. It's the best material there is. Can be casual, can be dressy. I can make it look good no matter what.
When I started thinking about what the kind of like art piece is going to be for this episode, well, you'll already see it once you're listening to this. Literally the first thing that came to mind is denim. So that's a little sneak peek. Well, actually, I wasn't going to give it away. Whatever. It's too late now. I'm going to stop talking about that. But yeah, no, we share a lot of clothes. Honestly, my mom gets a lot of my clothes. She is a Maxinista, as one would say. TJ Maxx, Marshalls, Home Goods addict. There every single day. I'll go in the store and I won't be able to find anything, but mom can go in the store and find literally everything. I don't know how.
I think it's all about what you're looking for and where to look.
Yeah, a lot of honestly, anytime we do like a party or like a thing too, my mom has the eye for literally everything.
You need a good vision.
That's so right. I feel like I'm very creative, but in a different way. Like, my mom is a hairdresser, so you have your kind of creative outlet that way. I do a lot of other things, but yeah. And my dad's in creative in his own way as well.
Dad is very creative.
Do you have a favorite memory of us?
One of our favorite memories could be, oh, there's many, but shopping together, of course, eating together. You introducing me to matcha and all these new hot coffee spots.
She's not a big matcha girl yet. She's getting into it.
Yeah, I like to try new things, new types of food. Yeah, I love just being with you and hanging around and you telling me what's the latest and the greatest in style or food or what's up. I think one of our best trips, though, was Canada.
Yes, we did that last Montreal. Summer.
Montreal was really nice. We had a really nice, sweet, bougie hotel room. We walked the city. The weather was nice. Yeah, we ate lots of different foods. We met lots of people. You took me thrifting everywhere.
She's not a big thrifter. That's one thing that we're working on right now.
But I find you some pretty nice things. I don't know how, but I
still find me stuff. Yeah.
I think I'm most surprised by how many people noticed you in the thrift store. I mean, I still can't see it, but for sure, anywhere we go, everyone notices your outfit. And I'm still trying to understand it. It's not that it's not. You always look cute to me, but I'm just thinking, I think you really must have a way with this vintage thrifting style, mm-hmm. because no matter California, people came up to you, Montreal, they came up to you, Boston, they came up to you. So I think it's definitely something that you need to understand. It's not for everyone.
There was this girl in one of the thrift stores, and she had like complimented my outfit, and it was funny because in my head I wanted to compliment her outfit, I just didn't like get a chance to. And then she's like, "Wait, we're kind of twinning," and like we kind of were. And we took a picture, and her name was similar to mine. It was like something with an L. But I love like interaction with strangers like that, but especially in the thrift stores, like that's when you're gonna find your people. But yeah, half of the things that I wear, she hates, and then half the things she likes, and it's usually like because it's her clothing or she kind of inspired or whatever. But yeah, you're catching on to that.
Well, reinventing it. I think one of the other things I remember is you had showed me a Calvin Klein jean jacket, and it was when the oversized started coming in. And you're like, "Mom, I want to get this jacket." And then I looked at the picture, I'm thinking, "Layla, I have this jacket. It was like I wore it in high school." So I think it was from Diane. She had it. I went and took it back from her. I said, "Layla wants to wear this," and I'm pretty sure we still have it.
No, we do. That was like my favorite piece at the time.
Jeans will always be relevant. Doesn't matter the style, the fit, the cut, the color. Those types of things change, but nobody can go wrong with jeans.
Did you have, I'll check your set. By the way, the Bev of tonight, or it's actually like 3 o'clock, but of the midday, I don't even know what time, like I don't know how you describe today right now, but it's like a coconut water. She loves coconut water, apple cider vinegar, pineapple juice, and some lime seltzer. It's not the best, but it's what we had, and
it's interesting.
It's fine. Coconut water is not my favorite, but it is hydrating.
I like it.
Do you have a signature look? Like when you were younger, like what you were in high school?
High heels.
I can't believe you wore high heels.
I wore high heels from high school till COVID. And there is actually I don't know if it was Mother's Day, probably, one of your writing your cards to me. And you had mentioned my mom in high heels.
Really?
I have to find it somewhere. But yes, yeah, I loved high heels and jeans. That was and belts. Mm. That was always my thing. And I still like it. Accessories, yeah.
She's
big earrings, belts, high heels, jeans, and a cute jacket on top.
Okay, yeah, bags is another one of your obsession. Like I feel like you would say you can't have too many bags.
Yeah, I like bags too.
I would say I definitely get my, now that you brought up the notes, I definitely get my thoughtfulness from you. And one thing that I honestly, I feel like I didn't have enough of a reaction in the moment. I'm not a very emotional person, like it's in like crying right away. But on my 21st birthday, which was like 2 years ago or so, my mom gave me this notebook and she had been writing in it since I was born. And it was the most unexpected thing ever. Like, it was like, today's like your birthday, or today you're doing your driver's test, today blah, blah, blah. Or I wish I had it right now to like open up a page.
Actually, I have gotten this idea from one of my clients. She had had two boys and I had just had you. And she had told me that, I've been writing a journal to my kids and I just put in something small. You know, not heavy, just something small about what you did today, or you won your game, or you lost your game, or you went to your recital. Small things. And as you grew, the stories got bigger and more dramatic. And I thought, okay, how long am I going to do this for? But number one thing I always wanted to do is just write positive things. Obviously, negative things happen throughout the years, but I did not put that in there. I just wanted to
really
write positive things.
I think you intended to, but the driver's...
Well, the driver's test, you failed.
Should I expose myself?
Yeah, that's okay.
No, that's a whole other story.
Yeah.
I did fail my driver's test multiple times, but... And it was like, she'd be like, "Layla, like, you got this, baby. Like, this is the day." And then, "Oh, I'm sorry, I need to get it." And that was like 3 times. But that's a whole story. So there's a reason for it. And a lot of you know it, but it's too long of a story to get into.
That's something that at the time, you thought it was awful. But looking back, first of all, it's very common, and it wasn't that big a deal because now you're driving and you don't even think about those days.
There are so many things, but no, honestly, that was very special. Like, kind of one of those things. It's like, I want to do that when I'm a mom, or I don't know. Mom's always super thoughtful, whether it's surprising me with a gift or just anything, like any moment, or I don't know, she just has like ideas, she just executes them, whether it's for me, for my friends. Mom's like literally a mother to my friends. Or do you feel like you got that from Nana?
Yeah, I think so.
You feel like you're a lot like your mom?
I do now. When I was younger, nobody would say I was like my mom, but now I do. Yeah, for sure.
They do have the same name.
Yes.
My mom has Mary. Like 10 siblings and she's the youngest, so I think she just ran out of
she ran out of names, so she said, okay, Mary, it's fine.
Little work. Mary.
Yep, little Mary.
Is there anything that you hope that I always hold on to as I get older?
Hold on to in what sense?
In terms of any like advice or just kind of things that you try to reiterate and remind me of every day.
Yeah, I think not to worry about things so much. You definitely stress too much about things that most of the time you can't control. And if you can control it, you do your best and then let it go. It is what it is. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to be working on that one for a
while. Yeah. It's okay. It is what it is. Because sometimes things happen so you can learn from it. And then when whatever it is that you wanted to do, you'll be that much better at it because you'll be coming from a different perspective. Nobody gets everything all the time. So when you don't get what you want the first time, you start to think maybe it wasn't the time, or maybe it's not even for me. So you start exploring other options, and that also can make you more well-rounded and better. I never thought I would be doing this with you.
No, definitely. I feel like, or I know that I would not be able to get over anything big or small without telling you. Like, I'm the person to walk into a grocery store, and if I didn't get a certain item, I'd be like, Mom, like, tell me why it's okay that I didn't get it. Like, it's a really most insignificant things, but my mom's the one to like calm me down or just reassure me, even if it's so stupid. Oh. Or if it's a bigger issue, you're able to just tell me exactly what I need to hear, because I do overthink. And I think having someone in your life that's able to, you know, ground you and like let you know that it's fine, or even just think about the bigger picture in life, it's like these little things are not
worried about. Or you know, sure, you think about them, you stress about them, but you gotta let it go, because this is just the beginning of a whole future that you're gonna have lots of other issues coming your way. And it's okay, because it's just life. Everybody has them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's how you react to them which makes the difference.
I feel like because you've gone through so many different phases in life, or just so many different struggles and hardships, and it just makes you, I don't know, it just makes who you are. And I don't know if it's a good or bad thing that you just literally don't care about anything. Like, you care, but you don't dwell on anything. Like, you're able to just be fine with like literally anything. Even if I have an issue or someone's being rude to me or whatever, you're just like, well, it's fine. Like, just they're not important.
Exactly. Well, you have to know you can't control everything. You can only control very few things, to be honest. And yourself is the most important one to control.
Is there anything that you would wish more girls or women would understand about confidence?
Confidence is obviously being secure with yourself and who you are. And there is no right or wrong answer or feeling. You just want to make a decision, be confident in it, and accept it. And hope that other people do too. And if they don't, that's okay too. Because that's your confidence. And your confidence will show through. It has nothing to do with like how you look, or it's more about the aura, I guess you could say, that you portray. Like, people can see and look at you and say, oh yeah, this person is confident. Just the way they walk, the way they hold themselves, the way they dress, the way they answer, the way they speak to others. They're not always looking for validation. They're just confident in themselves, but it definitely shows through. I can see that in a lot of people and vice versa.
Is there anything that I do of yourself?
I always say that you're more daddy, but for sure you are. I think probably you're most like me, or I'm like you, and probably like when we have a fixation on something, and it's usually like an outfit or clothes or something like that, like you just can't let it go until you get it or you find it or you have to put it together. Yeah, I have that too. Like if I'm thinking about something, I just need to get it.
I wouldn't say I have a shopping addiction, but when those moments show, it's definitely from you because you have that 100%.
I kind of do. Or when I make a promise to someone, I'm like, shoot, I got to find that. I told her I was going to get those pants or those shoes, and now I have to go get
She's always shopping for people too. Like literally, what did you have a bag and someone like if she's wearing a bag, someone compliments it, she'll go to the store, buy it and get it for them. Like, and honestly, that's honestly a good like testament to her character. It's like she's always thinking about others, or if, you know, in Islam too, if you there's something that you like you should want others to have it too as well. So I feel like there's a lot of different kind of things that you do regularly that kind of show that.
Yeah, I've kind of noticed that, to be honest, because I mean obviously when I was young I didn't know anything about Islam. I didn't know anything that, you know, to practice, or I never barely even heard of it. But now they say people can practice Islam without even being a Muslim, because like you say, those characteristics are just kind of built into you, hopefully. So it's kind of effortless when you do things for others or think about others or want to help others. I mean, those were all good characteristics, but I didn't actually know until recently that they were part of Islam. Just saying, like, this is what you need to do, like, feed the poor, feed the home, the needy, be kind to others, or if you have something good, give them your best.
And the most important thing is, like, you never expect anything back.
No, because I actually enjoy giving or doing things for people, because I like to see people happy.
Do you feel like, in hindsight, Islam has always been inside of you? So for reference, you converted or reverted it. I don't actually even know the term that you're supposed to use. But because I hear different opinions. When I was like 8 or something, I didn't even know that until like recently. Like, when did you take your shahada?
Probably when you were about 7 or 8. Yeah.
And before that, or even just before meeting my dad, like.
Yeah. Well, I feel like now that we're thinking of it, like my mom, she practiced Islam without even knowing about it. Like you say, I feel like I got a lot of my ways from her.
Christianity is also very similar as well, and a lot of the same principles are in Islam as well. But do you feel like it's changed you, like the more that you learn, or once you did start learning, it started to shape more, just make you more confident in like who you are and what you do? Like, obviously, I think you noticed you were a bit different than, you know, people around you.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. I think I just, the more I learned, the more I wanted to do and to know about. I wanted to practice more. I wanted to learn more. I like the fact that the things that I learned that I feel like I was already doing makes me feel good. Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes, I mean, I'm still in the process of learning. You can always be learning. But I feel that I have a bit of a more of a conscience on certain things that maybe I didn't know before, because I know more about Islam.
Anything specific? Palestine?
Yeah, of course, Palestine. Having specific people that are like, at one point or another, you took care of or were with or you know personally, and now to know what they're going through is just, yeah, it's so surreal. We can't even comprehend. Somehow, they're still getting through it. And I think that's another thing. I know it's easy to say, oh, you should worry about, you know, such minor things, because there's much more important things going on in the world that we, and you also know them personally, and they're younger than you and they have nothing and they're suffering. And they're still texting me and telling me, how are you? Happy Eid, this and that. It's just amazing. I don't know. To be honest, there are no words. There are no words to describe them, but they are something special.
She's referring to some children we met through the PCRF or other organizations, and luckily we're still in contact with them. And I think that's something that both my parents, my mom especially, kind of always instilled in me to always, you know, be thinking of others. Because to be honest, when I was younger, I wasn't a bad person. But like when I was little, I think it was just harder for me to understand others.
No, you were little, so you didn't really understand. And even people would say, oh, they're so little, Mary, you have to take care of your own first. But little did they know, Daddy and I doing what we did was giving you and your brother good values and morals and empathy and compassion for the ones who need it the most. So this, for us, I would say, is probably the most important parenting skill that we have done for you guys.
What? Hosting kids?
Hosting kids, letting you see the burns and the scars and the amputations and all of the horrible things that can happen to kids your age and younger, because it's real life. Some people may want to shield their kids from seeing the truth, but I think it's actually better to show the truth, and it'll make them stronger, I believe. Yeah, you, both of you, I think, are much stronger and better people for it.
I think being exposed to those kinds of things at a young age just helps you have more empathy too, and carries you into your life. I feel like looking back now, I didn't realize it during the time I was really young. I didn't realize how much it would have an impact on, you know, the way that I am, or just having overall just a global perspective. Like there, certain people kind of just have that bubble where they don't know anything outside of it, or they don't care about anything that's happening outside of the U.S. because it's not affecting them, or they don't have any personal ties like that. But I think the more that, you know, you travel, the more that, you know, you meet different kinds of people.
Absolutely. It's a 100% plus in every way. Yeah, for sure. That's one thing that I'm most happy that we have gotten to travel a little bit and had these people come to us. Actually, I wouldn't change it for anything, even though it wasn't always easy, but it was perfect. It was, that was probably one of the best things. Just hosting. I loved hosting. I loved when Najib came. I loved when Ronnie came. I loved when Abra, all of them. They're all so different. Even Yusuf, like just meeting them. And I think most important, keeping in touch with them.
So when I said my mom is basically a mom to everyone, she really is.
It's not so much a mom. It's just like when you make a friendship or you care about someone, it's not just, you know, transactional. It's not just for 6 months or 1 year. It's forever. Once you meet somebody, you can't unmeet them. Once you know them and know their stories and, you know, everything they've gone through, that's it. You're down there part of you. You can't unsee what you've seen. You can't unknow the stories. You can't unknow the feeling you have for them.
I think that really connects to why I love to talk to people and why, you know, my thoughts overall on this podcast, like who knows what the future will be, but essentially I'd love to, you know, interview as many people as I can, or, you know, continue to create from these interviews, just because, for example, every single conversation I'm learning something new, or we're connecting in a certain way. And like you said, it becomes a part of you. It's just like when you read, which I'm trying to get more into. It's like you read, once you know something, like you can't unknow it. And that's helped me a lot, like through as I, you know, grow closer in my faith in Islam. And the more I learn about certain things you should do, you shouldn't do, I can't, you know, not think about it. And that's really helped me grow as a person. Like once I start learning certain things, I'm like, all right, I can't, it doesn't feel right to, you know, continue doing it or whatever it is.
Yes, I think that's always a thing I've had, is I love to meet new people. I love to meet people from different places. Like I always loved foreign people, and I just love hearing their stories and where they're from and their food and just anything from simple things to big things to, you know, their culture or their values, their morals. I definitely think people grow. The more people they know, the better they will become as a human being, because everyone has something to offer. It might not be what you think, but that's another thing about being confident. This is just who they are. And who's to say what's right or wrong? This is, everyone has a perspective. And I think the more you can learn about other people, it's just an addition to yourself. That's why you'll notice that people who have traveled the world, they're usually the most interesting.
So you're teaching us a lot. Is there anything that I've taught you that sticks with you?
I like that you're smart and that you're not afraid to try new things. And you're a little bit all over the place. Like, I never would have done half these things that you do.
Like what?
I don't know. Doing podcasts, talking to people. I don't think I ever thought I could do these things, so we just never even mentioned it. But you're like, I'm going to do a podcast, I'm going to have a machine, I'm going to sew, I'm going to make a business, I'm going to do a million different things. Your mind is always going.
Yeah, that's why I can't settle down on one thing. But the thing with this podcast is, and I said this before when I was brainstorming, it's essentially me. Like, I don't know, every aspect of it, I'm able to combine everything I'm interested in, whether, you know, it's talking about people learning something new, and then now I'm creating art from it, and I get to sew, and I get to design on Illustrator, and I'm gonna be using my Cricut machine. That's the next thing I need to learn how to use, or my heat press, and I just get to do everything,
right?
And so it kind of just showcases it, and essentially it'll be a portfolio that's both, you know, has audio, you know, art to it, there's meaning. Everything I do, it's really stuck with me, I think, since my senior year where I took AP art. And, you know, every single thing had to have a meaning. You know, the colors you choose, the medium you choose, every single symbol, the question, I think that's the first time I really heard it, like, what is your why? It's to, you know, gain as much knowledge and experience so that, you know, I can better myself, and then I can, you know, pass on that knowledge to other people, help them to better themselves. Like, I just want to try everything. Right. And I've been very grateful to be able to, you know, do a lot of things. My parents never told me, you know, you got to do this, you got to do that. I was able to kind of just, you know, pursue what I want. I think that's worked out. You know, I don't hold myself to only pursuing one kind of path. I imagine myself to do many, many things, which is honestly tricky because I can't settle down on one thing, but
that's okay. You just try one thing for a while, and if it works out, great. If it doesn't, you go on to the next thing.
I had a business during COVID. It was, I don't know if people remember, but like tie-dye was a very big thing. Like tie-dye sweatshirts, and like usually they put like college logos on it. I did that for a while. I did my own custom designs with like the country you're from and like the national flower, and it taught me a lot. My mom was definitely a big supporter of it, you know.
Yeah,
you kind of helped me through it.
People loved
there was
it.
A lot of struggles. Like now looking back on it, oh my god, like doing it made me so, I don't know, it was hard, but I learned so much from it. It was part of my college essay, you know. Gone to college, just graduated college, like everything really happens for a reason. My biggest problem when I was younger was I repeated eighth grade, like by choice. I was moving to a private school, and they were like only accepting me if I were to stay back. And that was my biggest problem. Like I was like, oh my God, like, this is so embarrassing. Like I can't, I'm not doing that. Like, do you remember, mom? Like I was literally that was like my crisis. I thought my life was over. I'd never be successful. I never, you know.
Now looking back, you're thinking, thank God it happened this way because.
And then COVID hit. And so also like who would have known that was going to happen? I was able to have more of a fuller college experience because I entered college like a year later than I would have. And who knows if I would even, you know, had gone to Bentley if that happened. So, yeah. And I think right now I'm kind of in a phase two where it's like, I don't know what's going to happen. Like I'm kind of also feeling that stress and, you know, am I really going to be able to accomplish my goals? And, you know, will. A lot of self-doubt, but I know that, you know, from the history, like things will all make sense. It will all make sense. Like right now, who knows what this will become into. I've been literally talking about this podcast / working on it for like years now, for literally years. And what's been holding me back is just overthinking everything. And so I have to be perfect about this.
And you're a perfectionist. So that's kind of, you got to let that go a little bit because nothing is perfect.
Yeah. My friend Michaela, shout out Michaela. She sent me a quote. It was like, start it first and then perfect it later. Like, you just got to do it. I'm not going to say all my episodes that you're seeing right now are amazing and perfect, but
they're real. And being real is perfect. Like, I'd rather something be real and honest and especially with a conversation or a podcast. This way you can learn the ins and outs of like, oh, they weren't perfect. So then, you know, they still made it. Or you can inspire people by talking about your imperfections, because none of us are perfect.
Yeah.
And our life does not go exactly how we want it to, but that's okay because it goes the way it's supposed to.
Yeah. I think I'm slowly healing myself from that, like mm-hmm. in this post-grad phase. And my mom has helped a lot with just, I don't know. I feel like when you shut out everything, like I don't even have social media right now. I'm kind of just so detaching, kind of just living my life. Most of my days are at home. I get to spend, okay, now she wants to say something.
No, because you just made me think of that. I think when you said, how do you not care about anything? I think it's because I never did social media. Honestly, now that I'm thinking, like, I barely even know what it is. But I'm like, wait, I don't know anything about anyone, because if I wanted to know, I would call them. And vice versa. Like, you have Instagram, and my friend Sean told me to get it. I'm like, get it for what? Like, if I want to show you something, I'll show you. Like, it's just so weird. I did it once because she kept nagging me. And then I put it on, and Layla and I were looking at it. I'm like, who are all these people? They want me to add them, and they want to show me their pictures. And oh, it was like maybe 2 days, and then I deleted it.
You have like no Mm-mm. digital footprint, which I think is amazing.
I have no interest, and I don't know if that's good or bad, but I just literally have no interest in people I don't know. How could I?
In order for me to really be able to work on what I need to work on, I can't be looking at what other people are doing. And no matter how much you know, even if you're confident in yourself and it's like, oh, I'm just going to, you know, see what's going on. I'm not going to compare myself. It's almost inevitable. Like I'll be working on something, looking at, you know, this other project someone did. I'm just like, then I start fixating on that. It's like, why am I even wasting time looking at them?
Yeah, I think that's a big thing. No, I don't think I ever even enter my mind to compare myself to other people. I just kind of, like I said, if I want something or I want to see something or do something, I'll look it up or I'll tell whoever, my friend or my sister. And that's it. That's all that needs to know. I'm still kind of confused on how this social media thing is such a big deal.
I mean, there's pros and cons. Of course, you see the pros, especially, you know, these past couple of years, especially with TikTok and stuff. It's like social media, it can, you know, literally be how you live. You can make so much money from it. You're able to, you know, meet people that you would probably never meet if you don't have it. All these kinds of things. But on the other hand, you're kind of putting yourself out there for literally anyone to have access to. I think it can be overstimulating to also have so many people have access to you. And, you know, I don't know. I go back and forth between it.
Like, I feel like you might grow out of it.
Hope so.
Do people grow out of these things?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's people who've deleted it like permanently. And I think it's tough. Like, I mean, for this, I have an account for this that I'll need. I always say to myself, like, I kind of like need it for my career. But the same
business, then that's fine. But I'm saying random people, when you want to listen or look at random people's things, you don't know them. What does that have to do with you? Unless it's inspiring, like, oh, I'm looking for some inspiration, whatever. But I just could never understand why people are obsessed with looking at other people's stuff.
Yeah, that's one thing that I've never want to ever say. Oh yeah, so I deleted TikTok a couple years ago, I think almost 3 years ago. And one thing that I thought about before was like, wait, but you know, sometimes I'll see helpful things that I might need, or you know, like I come up with a couple excuses, but I still, you know, I deleted it, never downloaded it again. And it was like one of the best decisions. Like I think if I were to re-download it, I would literally have an anxiety attack.
Yeah, no, like I'm saying, like we watch TV and we look at other people's celebrities or whatever, and it's fun to watch, but it's not something that I think you should do personally. I just don't see any benefit doing it personally.
There's benefit, but it really it takes a certain type of person. You have to also
control yourself.
And you have to also be okay with judgment and criticism. Mm-hmm. And like I said, there's pros and cons.
Yeah, I guess it depends on actually what you're talking about, or if it's something helpful and you can help people, then I guess you'll do it and you'll take the bad publicity. But no, ultimately, I think keep your social network small and enjoy your friends and your people who actually care about you and want you to do well. And yeah, forget about the rest.
What I like about this is that I'm not doing video recording, because we can just be comfortable. We don't have to think about, know, what we look like or anything like that. I think that's something I'm trying to detach from too, like my looks. And I think when you're into fashion too, it's like you obviously have to care about your looks. But yeah, that's another thing. Kind of just dressing for myself, not, you know, for anyone else. And yeah, I kind of go back and forth. I think a lot of people would think I want to pursue fashion as a career and I want to do this and that. I really don't. I think the fashion thing honestly comes from just you. Like, my mom's always dressed me up, just and it's more of a personal thing. It's not like I want to pursue it. It's more just like something that kind of essentially came naturally. And it's just like, all right, I'm just going to put these pieces together and, you know, it looks good.
Right. You created your own style.
But it's not like, there was a point that I did want to be this modest fashion influencer. You know, I have my opinions about that, which maybe another episode we'll get into that. But yeah, I'm really happy that I steered away from that because I don't personally want to delve into it. But yeah, no, I'm definitely glad. I'm happy with I guess the direction that I'm going in as a person. I feel like I've changed a lot in a positive way, or just I've had a mindset shift and constantly evolving. Like you said, like the more that I learn about stuff, I listen to a lot of like Islamic lectures too. And mm-hmm. sometimes it's literally also because I commuted back and forth to college. I like listen to that like every single day. And now, cause I'm not a big reader too. I'm trying to get into it, but I'm not a big reader. And I, you know, I'm just like learning for, you know, around an hour or so a day. And when I hear these things, it just inspires me, it helps me. And then, like I said, I'm, you know, passing that knowledge on to other people.
Right. Yes. I definitely have been listening to podcasts the past almost 2 years. There's just a few different people that I've been listening to, and I can totally agree. Obviously, it's easier to listen to people you agree with. Who? Put who on?
Shahid.
Yeah, Shahid Bolson. I like the way he's thinking. I mean, he's very direct and tough, but he's smart and very like intellectual. He definitely knows what he's talking about, but he definitely has a different perspective than what most people would like to hear. I like Richard Wolff. He also talks about, he's an economist from this area actually. And yeah, he's just undeniably telling us what the future is going to hold for us and in this country, unfortunately, but we'll see. Yeah, there's a few different ones. I just like to listen to these things because this is something that affects me, affects us. So I'm trying to just maybe get ahead of the curve if I can. I mean, none of us know the future, but if we could try to learn a little bit more and take a different perspective, even if we don't always like what they're saying, but it's happening, we should be prepared. Like, mm-hmm. I know I always talk about BRICS, and still there's a lot of people don't know about BRICS. It's like, well, I mean, I think you have to look for it because part of this is, you know, our, I'm gonna get too political, but our country doesn't want us to know about it. By the time we learn, it will be too late mm-hmm. for the majority of the people. Yeah.
So the internet is a good place.
Yeah, the internet is a very good place.
When you don't have social media, like you can learn everything basically through other outlets. I mean, I don't know, especially with this like AI thing. Yeah. You can, it's actually getting scary. It's, I literally went across the world for an AI trip, which was honestly, I think I went on my favorite trips this past, like my senior year, like Malaysia, Vietnam, Singapore, mm-hmm. and emerging markets course. Like that was like my 2 week study abroad program. Mm-hmm. I'm so happy I was able to go. And then a couple months before that, the Ad Color conference in LA. Mm-hmm. Like those are my favorite trips ever. And I just like learned so much formally and also informally just through the people that I met. And I don't know, I have a YouTube video from the interviews that I did in Southeast Asia that you all should go watch. Who knows? I might become a low-key YouTuber, not like recording myself, but like other people.
Yeah.
Because when I was in LA too, I was finding random people. I have to look back at the videos, but I was interviewing people and I don't know. I'm almost obsessed with just meeting strangers for some reason.
Yeah, you can learn a lot. You can learn a lot from people. I think the biggest thing you learn is that we are definitely more alike than different. And that's in many ways.
Is there anything else you want to talk about, Mom?
Not really, honey.
What have you been up to? We tried the trampoline workout class the other day. Okay, I've done a lot of workout classes. Like, that's my preferred method of working out. Like, because I low-key have a lack of discipline, so I just like to go in for 45-50 minutes and just do what they tell me to do. But yeah, we tried the trampoline one. I forget what it's called exactly, but it was called like
bounce
and lift or something. Yeah. It was fine.
It was fine. It wasn't my favorite. It was a lot more than I thought, but yeah, it was fine. I mean, I need to get in shape, but yeah, it was fun. Mm-hmm. Try something else.
Love trying new cafes. Oh, we went to New York a little bit ago.
Last weekend.
Quick trip. Yeah, I love traveling when I don't have social media too, but I just feel like I'm much more present. But we went to Dover Street Market and it was fun. Like they have 9 or so like levels. Each level has like different designers and like everywhere we were, like we spent a good like 5-10 minutes on every level. My mom would, you know, Layla, you can make this, or like, see, like, this is what you should be wearing, or I don't know, she would get into, you know, every piece. You could
definitely get inspired by these pieces.
Mm-hmm. I know, that's what I love to do, because, like, I keep dropping my phone. I'm not paying $1,000 for a white t-shirt that has, you know, some design. Every time I see something like that, I'll take a picture, I'm like, I can make it, and then I never look at it again, but things are going to change. I really need to get back into sewing.
I always tell you, since you've been little, be the seller, not the buyer, because it's amazing. I mean, my stuff is different, but you guys these days, when I see you guys bringing home just jeans or a sweater or the $200, $300, $400, I don't understand it. So I'm like, okay, well, be the seller, not the buyer, because clearly these kids will buy anything. There is no limit.
Lesson of the day too is just always listen to your mother.
That's right.
A lot of things I don't see in the moment, and then I look back and I'm like, okay, you're actually right.
Well, I think the most important thing we can leave it at this is, and I've told you guys before, no one is gonna love you like your mom.
Do you love that I'm sarcastic?
Yeah, you're fresh, but I know your personality. I think it's funny that you're different with me than you are with your dad.
Not everyone can understand. I mean, I'm usually myself regardless. I do code switch from time to time. The only person that will fully understand my sarcasm is my mom, because I use it on people that I don't know, or people will say I'm like the ultimate gaslighter or like liar, just like you can never tell if I'm telling the truth or not. But I think that's just makes me who I am. My mom will always understand.
It's good to be funny. You gotta lighten up a little.
We weren't that funny this episode, but I feel like it wasn't the time and place and it didn't come naturally, which is fine because we kind of had more of a serious talk, which mm-hmm. I like. And my last question, I just want to ask you, do you feel like I said like or Okay, throwback to when I first recorded an episode. I posted it, right? My mom was like, Layla, you need to delete this.
You're giving me anxiety.
Yeah. She caused me to delete it and re-record it because she was stressed out. But I don't think that happened this episode.
I feel better. See?
There's growth, Mom.
There's always growth. Always. So I think if you want to have a funny guest on, next time you will bring your father. And he will be funny. He'll be next.
I definitely get my humor from my parents. Like, both my parents are so funny. Like, I wouldn't be able to share everything, to be honest, but I do have a lot of laughs. And
yeah, your dad's funny. He has a quick response. And even if someone else said it, wouldn't be funny. But when
it wouldn't be funny,
it's funny.
The broken English. He speaks English, obviously, yeah. Fine, but
we should make a book on him. Translate what he actually says and what it means.
Wait, he can't be on it though, because I'm only doing girls.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, you do it for yourself, just a personal. Okay.
Personal maybe one interview. Day, maybe he can be like an exception or something. Or what would you do if you could do something else?
If I could do something else, I don't know exactly. Maybe do something organized, help in some way. I don't know who exactly.
Nonprofit.
Like a nonprofit, but a little bit of, like, I wouldn't want to work with just one nonprofit.
Mm.
Like, I want to touch on a few different.
You can just work with me on my social enterprise. How about that? You can be my business partner.
Okay, we'll see.
Okay, well, it's been a pleasure. I love you so much. Thank you for coming on the podcast. You look beautiful right now. Y'all can't see. Do you know what ASMR is?
Do I need who?
Do you know what ASMR is?
No.
It's like when you like whisper.
Whisper.
Like, you know, people eat the noodles and like all the mukbangs and they record themselves eating.
I've never seen that.
Yes, you do. You hate it. Yeah, people love to watch it, but they do other kinds of stuff. So we're just going to whisper, and I'm going to say, I love you, Mom.